All right, a lot to do today. So we left off. What's going on back there? Are you serving breakfast?
Coffee.
There you go. All right, so let's begin. So we left off. Amar Rava. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. So Amar Rava, so we'll say just to reorient ourselves a little bit. Yesterday we dealt extensively with the machlokis between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Ami. In terms of the halacha, if let's say again with nichsei tzon barzel, remember again we spoke about two different types of marital property, nichsei tzon barzel, nichsei meluk. Nichsei tzon barzel is property the woman brings into the marriage, and ultimately husband guarantees that particular amount, the value of that property, versus nichsei mulug, where the husband, wife retains title over that property, but husband goes in and gets usage of that property. So remember, we dealt with the case of what happens at the dissolution of the marriage, divorce, where husband wants to go ahead, wife wants to go ahead and get back her actual property. She wants the property back. So does she have the right to demand the property or not? So Rabbi Huda paskind hadin ima, she does have the right to demand the property back because shevach beis avia, that property represents again the items of her father's home, versus Rabbi Ami, who said no, the din is with him, because essentially once they get married, the property really becomes his. He just essentially owes her the money. So now the Gemara says, Amalei Rava, so we'll say 12 lines up from the bottom, Samechvav Amal Beis, Amalei Rava, Rav Nachman, Rava said Rav Nachman, Vatan, I'm sorry, Amal Rava, Amal Rav Nachman, Halacha K'Rabbi Huda. So we'll say, Rava said, name Rav Nachman, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Huda, namely, Hadin Ima, that a woman could go ahead, welcome back, a woman could go ahead and demand to have her Nichsei Tzon Barzel given back to her. If it exists, she could demand it back. So the Gemara says, only Rav Nachman, but 1 second, Rav Satra Nachman, Vatanya, Kavasid Rabbi Ami. But yet, we have a Braisa that supported Rabbi Ami, who said that again, even if she demands it back, the husband need not give it back. To which the Gemara says, Afagav Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Ami, even though we have a Braisa that supports Rabbi Ami, Mistabra Taima de Rabbi Huda, Mishum Shavach Beis Aviha. The reality is that the Svara of Rabbi Huda makes more sense. Why? Because Lemaisa, Rabbi Huda holds, because of Shevach Beis Aviha, because since according to Rabbi Huda, this property represents her father's home, her father's property, therefore it makes sense to say that if it's in existence and the wife wants it, husband should give it back. So Gemara now tells a case. Hahi isisa da ayli le lagavra. It's still a dimilsa biksuvasa. Supposed to listen to this. So there was a woman who brought him to a marriage. Itzdala is a cloak, milsa is wool. So she brought in a woolen cloak, and it was in the ksuva. And I was saying, now what does it mean that it's in the ksuva? What it meant, bepasht, is that it's nichsei tzon barzel, right? It was valuated in the ksuva, it was brought in there, and therefore again, nichsei tzon barzel. What happens? Shachiv, the husband died. Shakluha, yasmi uparsua amisna. So the summim, the orphans, the children of the father, went ahead and took the cloak and spread it over the body. Right? Meaning also when a person dies, so one of the things that we have to do is we cover the body. So they took the cloak and they covered the body. Amarava, so we'll say now here's the problem. The problem is that the wife wants it back. Okay, it's just, I don't need it back like this second, but I am going to want the woolen cloak back. So Amarava, Rava said no, she doesn't get it back. Why? Kanye Misna. Because the dead has acquired the woolen cloak. Look at Rashi. Kanye Misna. Tachriche hameis isuri hanoahein. Kehekdish de gamar sham me'egla arufa. Supposed to listen to this. Once you spread that woolen blanket over that woolen cloak over the dead, so that has the din of tachrichim. That has the din of burial shrouds. Once it has the din of burial shrouds, then what? Bless you. Someone else may not get benefit from it because you are not permitted to get benefit from anything that was used with the dead. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Kanye Misna. Amarle na anoy brei drav Yosef brei drav Rav Kana v'ha amarava amrav Nachman alacha krav Yehuda. But 1 second, we just got finished saying that alacha follows Rav Yehuda. What? So what's the din again? So what did Rav Yehuda say? Rav Yehuda said that halacha lemaisa, if there is nichsei tzon barzel in existence and the woman demands it back, that you give it back to her. See, even in this case over here, you should give back the woolen cloak too. to the wife. Amrlei mila mod Rabbi Yehuda demechusar gavaina. So I'll say, here's the difference. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that technically she could demand it, it's mechusar gavaina. Now, I'll say, mechusar gavaina literally means it is lacking collection. Now, what that means is, Rabbi, say, there are certain things in halacha which you may have an entitlement to, but that entitlement, it's not yours until when? Until you actually go ahead and collect it. So in this case over here, Rabbi Yehuda says that the nichsei tzon barzel belongs to the woman. That is true, but it's mechusar gavaina, it's lacking collection, and because it's lacking collection, if something prevents it from coming to rishus, it will render it uncollectible. Sigmar says, v'cheva de mechusar gavaina b'rishusei koi, and since it has not yet been collected, since it is missing collection, therefore, again, it is if it's in the rishus of the husband. And once it's in the rishus of the husband and it's used for his tachrichim, then what? It precludes her from ever getting it back. Now, the Gemara says, the Rav Latame, Rav goes according to his reasoning, and we actually saw this before. Da'amar Rav, because Rav said, Hekdish chametz v'shichrur, tap of samach zayin, mafkiyin midei shuvah. Remember, we had this before. If a person goes ahead and, let's say, creates something or say designates something as an apotiki. Now, what's an apotiki? I borrow $1,000 from Ruvain, and what happens? I tell him, look, if I don't pay, you could go ahead and collect this phone. I collateralize the phone. Now, as opposed to regular collateral, which is sometimes given over to the creditor, this one remains with me. Apotiki is a contraction for apo tehekoi. From here you will be, meaning from here you will collect in the event that I can't pay you. Well, let's say someone does something to the apotiki, object that changes its status. For example, let's say again, the apotiki, the item designated for potential repayment, was a loaf of bread, right? I don't know, expensive bread, right? There's some type of expensive chametz. All right, whatever. So they have expensive chametz. And scotch is not a good example, right? Because scotch is chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha is a different category. All right, whatever it is, I go ahead and have some type of expensive chametz. I have a pasta collection, so I don't get out much, right? So I have a pasta collection, and I go ahead and I designate that as my apotiki, and then what happens? Pesach comes. Now, what happens when Pesach comes? If you have chametz and you did not go ahead and sell your chametz, so what happens when Pesach? What happens when Pesach comes? So again, it is removed from my rishus. Therefore, again, it takes away the shibud. It takes away the lien of the apotiki. Similarly, shichror. So shichror again. If I went ahead and I designated an eved. This is turned off. If I designated an eved, or that I was meshachrer it, all of these things are both like go ahead and change the designation of the apotiki. So you see from here that when someone else has an entitlement to something, but then something changes to prevent that collection from occurring, so the person who was entitled no longer has that entitlement. So too over here, even if you say that a woman is entitled to nichsei tzon barzel, if they're in existence, she's entitled to say, I want the object back. She still has not yet collected it, which means that if something happens in the interim that precludes collection, she no longer has a claim. So in this case over here, where the woolen cloak is being used to go ahead and cover the mace, it becomes tachriche mace. Ultimately, again, anything used for the dead becomes aser ba'ana. It prevents her collection. Now understand, even when you prevent her collection, you'll still have to what? The estate will still have to pay her, right? So obviously you'll have to pay her. It's not she. So she's still going to get the value, but Lamaisa, she will not go ahead and get the actual woolen cloak. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, hechnisa lo shnei kelim. Similarly again, if let's say she brought two utensils into the marriage, so be'elef zuz, and each of the utensils ultimately again was worth together 1,000 zuz, v'shibchu v'amdu al shnei alafim. And what happened? And the price went up, and now they're worth together 2,000. So they appreciated. So beforehand, each one was worth 50, and they became 100. Now they're each worth 100. Excuse me. Now they're each worth 1,000, and became 2,000 together. So what's the halacha? Echad not lasa b'ksuvasa. So we'll say one of those objects she takes in satisfaction of her ksuva payment. V'echad nosenes damim. So we'll say, remember, now 1,000 zuz represents the ksuva payment. That's one thing. And now the second 1,000 zuz represents the value of the nichsei tzon barzal she brought into the marriage. V'echad nosenes damim. V'not lasa mipnei shavach beis aviha. And the other one, so we'll say, remember, she brought in, just have to fix this, I'm sorry. she brought in two utensils that were originally worth 500 each. They went up now to 1,000 each. So when her husband dies or gets divorced, so what happens? One of those objects she takes as ksuva. 1,000 zuz for a ksuva. The other one, Rabosa, represents the nechsei mulog. There's a problem, though. However, what's the problem? Is that she only brought in $500 worth of nechsei mulog property. Now she's getting back 1,000. So what does she do? So the Gemara says, so the other one, echad not losa b'ksuva, v'echad noser as damim, v'not losa mipnei shevach peis aviha. And the other one, she goes ahead and she takes it, but she has to pay him 500 zuz. Why does she have to pay him 500 zuz? Because the value of the item has now appreciated 100%, and she's getting an extra 500 zuz. So she has to reimburse him for the extra 500 zuz. To which the Gemara says, okay, like, my kamash malon. So what exactly? You always say, once you say we pass like Rav Yehuda, which effectively means that Lamaisa, she's able to get back the Nichsei Maluk property if it's still in existence. So here's a case of where it's still in existence. It appreciated. So now again, what's the chiddush in telling me that she gets back the object, but she obviously has to pay him for the additional amount over the value that he guaranteed? So my kamashlan, what's the chiddush to it? My kamashlan, shevach bei savia didei havi, because as we said before, this property represents the shevach, the beauty of her father's home, and therefore she's entitled to take it back. The Gemara says, ha'amar Rav Yehuda chadazim. Rav Yehuda already taught this to us. What would I have said? Hani mili hecha dematcha. The mishka b'ksuvasa, aval lemeitan dami u'mishka lo. Well, say I would have thought that the only time that she's able to go ahead and claim this property is when lemaisa again. It's a real. If you look at Rashi b'ksuvasa, shehi elav zuz daha mai da ashpecha birshusei ashpechu, aval lemeitan dami u'mishka lo ela shalohin olamis. So, well, say I would have thought essentially, when do we say that she gets back the property? That's mamish only when the property represents a true satisfaction of what is owed to her. But if there's an appreciation of the object, then once there's a significant appreciation, it becomes his, and perhaps she would no longer have the right to claim the property back at all. Kamash Malan, that is not the case. And Kamash Malan, wherever the Tzon Barzel that she brought into the marriage is in existence, she is always permitted to ask for that Tzon Barzel back. He is obligated to go ahead and give her that Tzon Barzel back, with one caveat, that if the Tzon Barzel appreciates over the amount that he guaranteed from the beginning of the marriage, then what? She is obligated to go ahead and reimburse him for that additional amount. Again, so it's quite, if you think about it, again, it's actually quite intuitive. It's quite intuitive. She's permitted, she's entitled to get the property back, but she's not entitled to go ahead and just take the appreciation. That appreciation belongs to the husband. So if she wants the property back, she has to reimburse him for the appreciation of the object. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, and that is halacha lemais, like we said yesterday, because we pass like Rav Yehuda. Says the Mishnah. Bas Yisrael shenisayis lekoim umeis. So we'll say, now we're going to get into another couple of interesting cases. A Bas Yisrael marries a kohen, meaning Bas Yisrael, meaning she's not from a Kohanic family. Bas Yisrael marries a kohen, and then he dies. Kohen dies. V'henicha me'uberes. And when he dies, she is pregnant. She is pregnant. So what is the halacha? Lo yochlu. So the Gemara says, lo yochlu avadeha b'truma mipnei chelko shal ubar. So we'll say, in this case over here, this is quite interesting. In this case, so she has servants. So her servants, her avadim, may not eat truma because of the chilek of the fetus. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, v'nichamu ubaras, afa pishiyesh labanim hemenu, v'yocheles b'truma. Now, we'll say, the case over here could be where this widow, she had other children. I mean, she's pregnant now, but she had other children with this Kohen husband. And therefore, again, remember, as a result, v'yocheles b'truma, because as we said yesterday, if a Yisrael woman married a Kohen, and they have children together, and then he dies, she's permitted to go ahead and continue to eat truma as long as she has Kohanic offspring. So what happens? V'yocheles b'truma, lo yochlu avdei tzon barzel b'truma. However, if she has avdei tzon barzel, they may not eat truma. Why? Lefin shehen shel yarshim. Because you're also remember, who do the avdei tzon barzel belong to? The avdei tzon barzel belong to the heirs of the deceased Kohen husband. Right? Because remember, tzon barzel really becomes the property of the husband himself. So now those avodim become the property of the husband, become the property of the yarshim. The yesh leubar bahen chelek, the ein leubar koach laachilan betruma. Imishum de kasaver uber bebay zara. So we'll see this. We'll see in the Gemara. So the Mishnah saying is like this: when the husband dies and he leaves behind son barzel, that son barzel becomes the property of the children of the heirs. Then we'll say, remember, as we established yesterday, are avdei son barzel that belong to the kohen, are they permitted to eat truma? The answer is yes, because remember, they're kinyon kaspo, they're the acquisition of the kohen. Here's the problem: the problem is that the uber, the in utero baby, the in utero fetus, is an owner, is technically a partial owner of those avadim, but he is not able to entitle the avadim to eat truma, as we'll see the reason for that in the Gemara. Therefore, in this particular case, where again, Kohanic husband died, left wife pregnant, even if there are other children alive, she could eat truma, no problem, she could eat truma, but the avdates on Barzal, the estate, may not eat truma. Sha'uber posel ve'ino machil, the Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says that a uber, right, a fetus is posel. Rabbi will see the case of posel. Rashi says in bas koin nises li yisro ve'nicham uberes ve'in la ben acher posel milosh la beisaviyah kinuara. We will see that Rabbi in the reverse case, if a bas koin marries a yisro and now she is widowed and she is pregnant, if she's pregnant, she may not go back to her father's home and go ahead and eat truma, as we'll see later on. So the uber is posels and does not entitle others to eat. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi. Amrulos, it says Rabbi Yossi me'achar, she aratalano abas Yisrael l'kohen. Now that you said this regarding abas Yisrael marries a kohen, af bas kohen l'kohen, umeis ve'nichum uberes lo yoch lo v'deb truma, b'bnei chal koshub. And I will say, now what comes out is something very interesting. This is not just the dinin of a case of abas Yisrael marries a kohen. This is the same thing if what? If a bas kohen marries a kohen, because we'll say, because what are we saying now? What we're saying is because if a man dies and a kohen dies and he leaves his wife pregnant, whether she is a bas yisrael or whether she's a bas kohen, the halacha should be the same according to Rabbi Yossi, which is that since the child in utero is a partial owner of the servants and an uber is not able to entitle that which he is entitled to, he's not able to entitle his possessions, so to speak, his ownership interest to eat truma. Therefore, by definition, the identity of the wife is totally irrelevant. It's the existence of the uber that would go ahead and preclude the avdei tzon barzel from partaking of truma. So he said, Rabbi Yossi, why do you set this up as a case of a bas yisrael that marries a kohen? It's just the same principle would apply if what? If it's a bas kohen who marries a kohen. So that's how the Mishnah ends off. Ibailu. So we'll say, time to Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, now the question is, what is Rabbi Yossi's logic? So Rabbi Yossi espouses a very interesting idea, which essentially is that if the kohen dies and leaves his wife pregnant, and there are tzon barzel, the existence of the child in utero, the existence of the fetus, precludes the avdei tzon barzel from going ahead and eating truma. Now, the reason behind that seems to be because, again, the uber has some type of ownership interest, but the uber in its present state is unable to entitle his ownership interest, his avodim, to go ahead and eat truma. So, what's the logic? Perhaps, mishum dekasavar uber b'may zara zarhu. Oh, I'll tell you why, because maybe Rabbi Yossi holds that what? That Rabbi Yossi, a child in utero of a child who is in the womb of a non-Kohanic woman has the status of what? Has the status of a czar. Has the status ultimately again of a non-Kohen. Now granted, when that child will be born, that child will be what? That child will be a Kohen, but perhaps in utero, the child does not have that Kohanic status. Now, it's interesting over here, if you look at Rashi, he says, So that's only in the womb of a non-Kohenes. So if a non-Bas Kohen conceives a child, even though it's with a Kohen, when the child is in utero, the child's like Yisrael. Now, so let's play this out. If the child's like Yisrael, then what? Then we understand why the uber would prevent the Avdei Tzon Barzel from eating Truma. Why? Because now you have a non-Kohanic interest in those avdei tzon barzel, which would preclude them from eating truma. Oh, Dilma, the other possibility is yolud ma'achil, sheino yolud eino ma'achil. The other possibility, which is much simpler, which is what? That only someone who is alive has the ability to entitle others to eat. But someone who is not alive does not have the ability. So we'll say we're in a little bit of a catch-22. Because on one hand, does the uber have an ownership interest in the avdei tzon barzel? Does the Ober have one? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because again, we know already, for example, if the brothers decided amongst themselves to sell off all of the property, they could not do that. That child, that unborn child does have certain legal rights and entitlements. On the other hand, he can't entitle anyone to eat until he's actually born. So Gemara says, Lamai nafkamina. So what's the nafkamina about this? The Gemara says, Lo ober b'mei kohanes. So the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. Let's say the widow herself is a kohanes. So if you say that an ober in the womb of a Bas Yisrael is a Zar, that's only true by a Bas Yisrael. It's not true by a Bas Kohen. However, if you say that only a child who's alive can entitle others to eat, then that is true independent of the nature of the identity of his mother. So Mar says, Mai, what's the halacha? Amar Rabba, Hainu Tam Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's logic is, Tikasavar Uber B'mai Zara Zaru, because Rabbi Yossi holds that a child in the womb of a Bas Yisrael is considered to be a non-Kohen. Therefore, there's a non-Kohanic interest in these Avdei Tzlon Barzel. Therefore, they can't eat Truma. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the halacha is, or Rabbi Yossi's logic is, Yilod Ma'achil, She'en Yilod Eino Ma'achil. Only someone who is alive is able to entitle others to eat Truma, but someone who is not alive is not able to entitle others. Meisveit, Gemara is a kasha. Amrulo Rabbi Yossi, Me'achar She'arata Lanu Abas Yisrael Lekoin, Bas Koin Lekoin Mahu. So remember, they said, so the Gemara quotes the Kash, they said, Rabbi Yossi, now that you told us in the Mishnah about a Bas Yisrael marries a Koin, what is the halacha about a Bas Koin who marries a Koin? Amrulahem, so Rabbi Yossi said, Zu Shamati, Vizulo Shamati, I only heard that the first case is Aser, I never heard that the second case is Aser. So Gemara says, Yarmit Bishlama Uber Mamai Zara Zarhu. So if you say that Rabbi Yossi's logic is that a child in the womb of a Bas Yisrael is a Yisrael, then I understand, Hainu Dika Amarle, Zu Shamati, Vizulo Shamati. Rabbi Yossi says, I only heard about the case of a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen. I didn't hear, I never learned the other case. Eli Amrit Yilod Ma'achil, She'en Yilod Ein Ma'achil, Mai Zu Shamati, Vizulo Shamati. But if you say that Rabbi Yossi's logic is that only a child who was born can entitle Avdei Tzlon Barzel to go ahead and eat, then what does it matter if the mother is a Bas Kohen or a Bas Yisrael? Ihi, it's really the same case. To which the Gemara says, Kasha, Inachinami, that is a good question. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmo. So we'll say, so remember, we're still, where we are right now is, we have this statement by Rabbi Yossi, that essentially, again, the existence of a fetus will go ahead and preclude the Avdei Tzlon Barzel of the deceased Kohanic husband from eating the truma. We have Machlokes in Rabban and Rav Yosef as to what Rabbi Yossi's logic is. Is it because Ubar Bimei Zara is a Zar? Is it because when a child is in utero of a Bas Yisrael, that child is not considered to be a Kohen, therefore there's a non-Kohanic interest in the Avdei Tzlon Barzel that precludes them from eating truma? Or is it just simpler that only a living person can entitle someone else to eat? A person who is not alive cannot entitle anyone else. Okay, so we'll say, so that's where we're left right now. I'm going to read Shmuel. Zudiv Rabbi Yossi, these words of Rabbi Yossi, he's quoting over the Mishnah. Aval Chacham and the Chacham say, Yesh lo banim, quoting this statement, Yesh lo banim, ochlim mishum banim. Ein lo, so I'll say, the Chacham disagreed Rabbi Yossi, the Chacham say, we don't care if there's a pregnancy. If there are living children, then the Avdei Tzlon Barzel, who are the current heirs, the living children will entitle the Avdei Tzlon Barzel to go and eat Truma. And if there are ain lo banim, if there are no sons, ochlim mishum achim, then Rabbi Yossi, who inherits the man if he has no sons? His brothers. So his brothers will entitle the Avdei Tzlon Barzel to eat the Truma. Ein lo achim, if he has no brothers, ochlim mishum mishpacha kula. So we'll say, then what happens? They'll eat because of the family. And what the Chacham say is, there's always going to be someone who inherits this man. So whoever inherits him will entitle, assuming this is a Kohanic family, will entitle the Avdei Tzlon Barzel to go ahead and eat Truma. And the Chachamim do not pay attention in any way to the existence of the Uber. To which the Gemara says, now remember, this is Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel saying, Zu Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Now when it says Zu, so it normally sounds like Zu means the halacha follows this approach. So the Gemara says, Zu, that's not true, Zu Velo Sirle. It could be that Rav Yehuda is saying this in the name of Shmuel, but they do not actually subscribe to this idea. Ha Amrali Shmuel Rav Chana Bagarata. Yet, Shmuel said to Rav Chana Bagarata, Puk Aisi Li Be Asara. Go and gather 10 people. Because I want to, meaning, go gather 10 people is like an expression that I want to tell you something of incredible importance. And therefore, I want you to gather an olam, to be able to hear what I'm about to say. What am I going to say? Hamazakya l'uber kana. if somebody goes ahead and Abbasai gives something over to a fetus, the fetus is able to acquire it. Which Abbasai mean, now again, that's a much more complicated discussion, but the idea is that you're able to go ahead and the fetus has the ability to acquire, so to speak, or someone else has the ability to convey something, an ownership interest of something to the fetus. And Abbasai, now what that tells us is that lemaisa, that the existence of the fetus is significant. This stands in contradistinction to the Chacham, because the Chachamim say that the existence of the fetus is really insignificant, to which the Gemara says, Ela zu usfirale. Rather, it must be that lemaisa, it's they hold like this, these are the words of Rabbi Yossi, and they do hold like it, to which the Gemara says, my kamash malon, so like what are we being taught over here? De pligi rabban alid Rabbi Yossi. Perhaps the point that's being made over here, which Rabbi says is not really a chiddush because we saw in the Mishnah, is that the Chachamim argue, the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Yossi. Umi pligi, do they really argue? Massive Rav Zakai, zu edis heid Rabbi Yossi mipnei Shmaya v'Avtalion. This testimony Rabbi Yossi gave in the name of Shmaya v'Avtalion. V'hodulo, and the rabbis agreed. The rabbis agreed, which sounds like Rabbi Yossi presented his position, namely that the existence of a fetus after the husband dies, meaning leaving behind the pregnant wife, the fetus has an impact on the ability of Avdei Tzon Bar Zaltit to Truma. Rabbi Yossi said this in the name of Shmaya v'Avtalion. V'hodulo, hodulo, Abbasai, sounds like what? Everybody accepted his opinion, which sounds like the Rabbanan don't argue Rabbi Yossi, to which the Gemara says, Amar Avashi, Mikatani v'kiblu, does it say they accept, the rabbis accepted the opinion? No, it says what? Hodulo katani debistaber tameh. I will say hodulo means they admitted that he was advancing a good argument. It does not mean that what? That they accepted it la'alacha. So therefore, where we are right now is there is still a fundamental dispute between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon as to whether or not the existence of the Uber impacts the Avdei Tzon Barzel's ability to eat Truma. According to Rabbi Yossi, it absolutely does, and it precludes them. The existence of the Uber precludes Avdei Tzon Barzel from eating Truma. According to the Rabbanon, essentially the existence of the Uber pretty much is irrelevant. It does not matter for these purposes. L'maisa, again, we just look at the heirs. Tanu Rabbanan, hiniach banim, if he left behind sons, elu v'elu ochlim. Both types of avodim could go ahead and eat. Look at Rashi. Hiniach banim, ha-kohen v'lo hinichim oberes. Let's say, Rabbi, say a different case. Kohen dies, leaves behind the wife. She's not pregnant, but they had children together. So what's the halacha? Elu v'elu, Rashi says, avdei melug v'avdei tzon barzel, ochlin, the avdei melug ochlin b'shvila, she ocheles b'shvila banal, v'avdei tzon barzel ochlin b'shvila banal. So this is a simple case. So what happens? Man, Cohen dies, leaves behind a widow, she's not pregnant, but they had children together. So what happens? Now the Gemara says, both types of avodim could eat truma. Why? Avdei melug could eat truma, why? Because we'll say, who do avdei melug belong to? Belong to the woman. And therefore, again, remember, when she's permitted to eat truma, which she is, so therefore they could eat truma, and the Avdei Tzon Barzel will also eat truma. Why? As a result of who? The heirs, right? Because the sons will inherit. Therefore, again, the Avdei Tzon Barzel are now their property, therefore they could eat the truma. So the Gemara says the following, however, hinicha mu'uberes, if the kohen died and left behind a pregnant wife, elu v'elu ein ochlim, then neither the Avdei Tzon Barzel nor the Avdei Melug are permitted to eat. Look at Rashi. Elu v'elu, that in this case over here, hinicham u'beres, Rashi says, v'lo hiniach labanim. There were no other children. So she's pregnant, but there were no other children. So the Gemara now says, neither set type of avodim could go ahead and eat truma. Sha'uber enom ach, elo esemo, v'lo asa avdim. Because also remember, in this case, the uber cannot entitle his mother to eat, nor can the uber entitle the avodim to eat. So in this case, no one eats. Remember, once the mother can't eat, then what? Then the avdei melug can't eat either. However, heniach banim veniach muberes. What happens if he left behind children, but he also left behind a pregnant wife? So avdei melug ochlim. So we'll say in this case over here, the avdei melug could eat. Why can the avdei melug eat? Because the woman herself could eat. Why could she eat? Because she already has children, so she could eat as a result of the children. Once she's permitted to eat, then her avdei melug are permitted to eat. However, again, Avdim Lugochlum Kader Shiokalas. Aditzon Brazil Lo Yochlu. However, the Aditzon Brazil can't eat. Why? Bibne Chelko Shal Uber. Shal Uber Posel Ve'ino Machel Div Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi say the Aditzon Brazil cannot eat. Why? Because of the existence of the Uber. The Uber has an ownership interest in them. Therefore, again, the Uber is not able, the Uber Posel, the Uber is not able to entitle them to eat. Therefore, again, Avdim Lug can eat as a result of the woman's ability to eat. Aditzon Brazil may not eat. Div Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Omer. Shum aviv, habas ma'acheles, habein eno ma'achil. Now we make an interesting statement. A daughter can entitle the avadim to eat, but a ben, a son, cannot. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Zacharim Yochelu, Kula, Nikevos lo Yochelu, lo Yochlu, Shema Yimtso Uber Zachar, Ve'in Labaros B'makoma Ben Klum. Now Rabbi Shimon Yochai goes a step further. He says, male children are permitted to eat, all of them are permitted to eat. However, again, the female children are not permitted. Why? Because it may turn out, if there are only girls, it may turn out that the Uber is a boy. And if the Uber is a boy, then what? Then Lamayin says, again, all the property belongs to him. Ve'ein labanos v'makom ha-ben klum. Someone says, okay, my area of Shemi Matzei Uber Zachar. Why do you have to set up the case? Maybe the fetus will be a boy. Tepok lay dinekeva nami pasla. Ultimately, again, I will say the existence of the Uber will always preclude the Avdei Tzom Barzal from eating. Because remember, again, if someone's not alive or something's not alive, they can't go ahead and convey the ability to eat. So that's independent of whether the Uber is a male or a female. To which the Gemara says, Tepok lay dinekeva nami pasla. Chadava od kamar. There's two reasons. Chada dinekeva nami pasla. One is reason is because even a female Uber, we'll go ahead and passel va'od shemi matzei uber zachar. The other possibility is maybe the baby will turn out to be a zachar. Ve'ein labanos makom ben klum, and ultimately then the daughters will not have any ownership interest in the estate. So the Gemara says the following: zacharim yochelu. So he said if they're male children they could eat. Vaha ika uber. Aye, but one second, even in the case of male children, there is still the existence of the uber, and shouldn't the existence of the uber preclude the avdei tzom barzal from eating? To which the Gemara says, Kasavar, because he holds in choshishin lemiuta. We are not choshesh for the miut. Meaning, Rabbi say we are not choshesh that the possibility is that she's going to have a boy. Look at Rashi in choshin lemiuta l'shema yehei zacher, that maybe the child will be a boy. V'yesh lo chelik bahen, and therefore he has a chelik in them. The basa ruba azlinon. Veruba yoledes o nekevos o mapilos kideprishas al sabosa. This is interesting. So apparently, again, the rove is comprised of two possibilities. Either the women are going to miscarry, or that what? Or that they'll have a girl. So that's interesting. Again, that I guess just based on what they observed. So the Gemara says, the other possibility is the olam kasavra chosh shel miyuta. No, the other possibility is we are choshish for the miyut. Da'avdina le'takanta kirav nachman amar shmuel. And we go ahead and we try to go ahead and do what's best for the Uber. As we said in the name of Nachman Bar Shmuel, because also remember, as I'm sure some of you are wondering, this notion that an Uber has ownership interest in something, who exactly is safeguarding those particular ownership interests? So the Gemara says, Kirav Nachman Amr Shmuel, the Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel, Yisomim Shabbat Lachlok bin Nichse Avihem, when you have orphans who need to split up their father's estate, based in Ma'amidin Lahem Apotropis, Uborer Lahen Chilek Yafa. So what does Beis Din do? Beis Din establishes an apotropis. What is an apotropis? A trustee. Right, but it's more than right. It's a trustee. Yeah, trustee guardian. Maybe that's the right. A trustee guardian. And what happens? Uborer Lahen Chilek Yafa. And that the job of that apotropis is to go ahead and to choose the best portion for their client, best portion for their person. I will say, we'll get into this in the babas where we discuss this. But interestingly enough, you know, it's sometimes it appears in the Gemara that there's one apotropis for the estate. Other times it appears that there's one apotropis per yosom, which essentially means every single yosom has their own advocate. In any event, the job of the apotropis is to go ahead and choose a nice portion for each one. However, what happens? Higdilo, well, so let's say the orphan grows up and now says, you know what? I don't like what you chose for me. Right? I don't like the portion. So what's the halacha? Yecholin limchos. They could object. They could object to the portion that was chosen for them. And again, we'll discuss the recourse that they have. Rav Nachman said, Higdilo en yecholin limchos. Not true. Once they grow up, they do not have the ability to go ahead and make a macha, make an objection to the portion they got. Why? The imkain ma koach based in yafa. Because Rabbi said this is actually a very interesting idea. Because if everybody could just simply complain and reverse decisions that are made, then what power does any entity actually have? Meaning the apotropis essentially is working for the interests of the Bezdin, for the interests of the Yesomim, but essentially is empowered by the Bezdin. They are working on behalf of Bezdin. What Bezdin does. Now, we'll say, obviously, everybody would agree that if somehow the Yesom could demonstrate some level of negligence, right, or some other type of fraudulent type of behavior, that's a different discussion. But assuming that it's clear that the apotropis put in a best faith effort, then Lemaise, a good faith effort, excuse me, then Lemaise, again, what he does is binding. Let's say Rav Nachman's statement is machlokes tanoim. Lo, duchol alma is Rav Nachman. Not true. Everybody agrees with Rav Nachman. V'hacha v'choshesh in the miut kamiflagi. And here the machlokes is: are we choshesh for the miut or not? Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishum Aviv, Habas Ma'achila Ben Eino Ma'achil. So we'll say. So now remember, we said before in the Braisa that what a son is able to go and entitle the avodim to eat, but a daughter is not. Ma'ishna Ben Lo Ma'achil. What does that mean? Why would a son not entitle the avodim to eat? Mishum chelko shel uber, because again of the chilik of the uber, because since you have the existence of the uber, and the ownership interest of the uber precludes the avdei tzom barzal from eating. So Gemara says, I don't understand. That's the case. Bas nami lo tachil. If that's the case, then a daughter also should preclude the avodim from eating. Bivnei chelko shel uber. Meaning, both say, so if you're dealing with the uber, so then what does it matter if the other child is a boy, the other child is a girl? The existence of the uber is what is going to preclude the avdei tzom barzal from eating the truma, to which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, hacha b'nechasem u'atin askinan. Oh, what are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with an estate that has limited property. Ukigon di'ika ben bahadei bas. And now what happens? There's a son and a daughter. Manavshach, ihai dima'abra benhu, if the child turns out to be a boy, lo adaf mihai dekoi, he is no better than the son that already exists. Ibasi, and if it's a daughter, amai achlo, then ultimately, again, why would there be an entitlement to truma? Bitakanta dirabanan. So the truth is, remember, this is all a takana dirabanan. Come up. As long as the child has not yet come into the world, there is not yet a takaran sabanon. So, how did you establish that previous case? You said that we're dealing again with limited means, limited property. Ema seifa, but yet look at the end of that statement, the end of that braisa. Shema yimatzia uber zachar ve'in labanos makom klum. Because what happens? Maybe the child will turn out to be a boy, and if it's a boy, Rabosai, then what? It's the son that will inherit the entire estate, and the girls will have nothing. Adrab, that's not true. Nechasim mu'atin debanos ninu. Rabosai, we will see in Ksuvis an interesting idea, that if an estate has limited property, when a man dies, one of the things that every man agrees to is that in the event of his death or divorce, his estate will take care of his wife, and more importantly, his daughters. We'll say, now, where does that have ramification? Let's say a man leaves behind an estate with very limited property. So the sons are interested in what? Cashing out money, right? The sons want to cash out. After Shiva, right? The sons want to cash out. They just want to cash out of this. The halacha says if we prevent them from doing that, the only thing they could cash out is if somehow there's some type of mechanism for the support of the wife and the daughters. But if there are limited properties and those properties generate the means for support of the wife and the daughter, now again, remember, the sons will retain title over that property. But lemaisa, again, that property must be designated for the support of the wife and the daughters. So in a case so the Gemara said no, because the end of that price was talking about with this plenty of property. Is that true? That there's limited property. That property goes to the girls. Again, not entitled. Not entitled. Entitled it remains the sons. But the mice that is designated for their support. But yet we learned that Yisomim, if the orphans went ahead and sold off the property of their father in a very small estate, what they sold is sold. Meaning, again, the transaction works. The Elamai Bas Tiktani. Therefore, again, what does it mean when the Braisa spoke about a daughter? It didn't mean a daughter. It meant an aim. It meant a mother. It meant the mother. If you look at Rashi, my Bella, my bastik tani aim, vachi kamar, ha'aim ma'acheles avde malug shala. A mother has the ability to go ahead and entitle her avde malug to go ahead and eat truma. Keder shaisa acheles va'ben eno ma'acheles avde tzombarzo avne chalko shulver. So we'll say, what the Brice is telling me is like this, that a mother, i.e., if the husband dies, and the mother has other children, she had children who were born already during the marriage, then what happens? The existence of those children entitles her to eat truma, right? And the fact that she could eat truma, then what? Entitles her avde malug to eat truma. Ihachi, and therefore again, in the second case of the ben, if remember, this is the case where the mother has children, but she's pregnant, so the sons, of course, are permitted to eat truma also, but the avdei tzom barzel may not eat truma. Why may they not eat truma? Because of the existence of the uber. The uber precludes the avdei tzom barzel from eating truma. To which the Gemara says, Ihachi hain Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what you've just done is you've restated the position of Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Kulu Rabbi Shua Rabbi Yossi katani la. In fact, this entire teaching, both the Mishnah and the Braisa, are all here to reflect the view of Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, what comes out of this, the way that the Rambam paskins in this is very, so we learn a couple of very important things. If a woman is married to a Kohen, and the Kohen dies, so what are the ramifications of truma consumption on really three different parties? Party number one is the wife, party number two are the avdei malug, and party number three are the avdei tzon barzel. So what's their status with truma? So everything depends. If she, let's say, simplest case is, husband dies, and there are children. If husband dies, there are children, no pregnancy. She, wife, could go ahead and eat truma. Her avdei malug could eat truma. Why? Because remember, her avdei malug are hers. If she could eat truma, they could eat truma. And avdei tzon barzel could eat truma. Why? Because they become the property of the heirs. They eat truma through the heirs. That's case number one, simplest case. Case number two is she's pregnant with no other children. So she's pregnant with no other children. That's Rabbi Yossi's case in the Mishnah, which is what? She cannot eat truma, right? Because at the end of the day, she does not yet have a Kohanic child, so therefore she can't eat truma. Therefore what? Her avdei malug can't eat truma, because if she can't eat truma, her avdei malug can't eat truma, and avdei tzon barzel can't eat truma either, because there are no heirs who have yet inherited the avdei tzon barzel. Case number three is where husband dies, she is pregnant and has children. So in this case, what happens? So she could eat truma. Why? She could eat truma. Why? Because she has children, right? Her avdei malug could therefore eat truma. Why? Because again, she could eat truma, avdei malug could eat truma. What about avdei tzon barzel? They can't eat truma. Why? Because of the existence of the uber. Because since the uber has an ownership interest in these avadim, his ownership interest precludes the avdei tzon barzel of meaning truma. Why does his ownership interest preclude the avdei tzon barzel of meaning truma? Either because of one of two reasons. Either because every child in utero, even if his mother is a bas kohen and his father is a kohen, every child in utero is what? Is a zar, and therefore there's a non-kohanic interest in this child. Now granted, that's going to change. And once the child is born, he'll be a kohen, there'll be a kohanic interest, the avdei tzon barzel could eat truma. But until he's born, while he's in utero, there's a non-Kohanic interest in the Avdei Tzon Barzel. That non-Kohanic interest precludes the Avdei Tzon Barzel from going ahead and eating truma. Or possibility two is the existence of the uber precludes the Avdei Tzon Barzel from eating truma. Why? Because he's not alive. So it's interesting. He has an ownership interest, meaning his existence is significant in that there's an ownership interest, but it's not an ownership interest that gives the license to eat simply because he's not yet alive, and therefore it precludes them. So I'll say those are the three different cases, and that's how we pass in halacha lemaisa in these cases of truma. All right.
In case two, where there are no kids alive.